Lord. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship, the supremacy, the dominion, the rule, and the sovereignty. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and let's appreciate him. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for this day you have made for us to rejoice and to be glad in. Thank you for the impact of Sunday service. Thank you for lives touched. Thank you for healing and deliverance service. Thank you for destinies changed. We worship you, we love you, we honor you, and we adore you. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Wave your hands and let's give him the praise. Let's give him the honor. Let's give him the adoration. Hallelujah. Give him the big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is our month of prayer, reigning as kings by the force of prayer. And tonight, we want to understand the factors that enhance prayer result. And after we have done that, we shall be going into practical praying. What are the factors that enhance prayer result? In James chapter 5 and in verse 14, all the way to verse 16. James 5, 14 to 16. He said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our objective in this night's study before we step into praying is to understand the factors that ensure that we do not pray in vain. The factors that ensure that we do not pray in vain. Why is this objective necessary? For two reasons. One, or three. One, there are many who pray, but not many expect to be answered. They pray, but they don't expect to be answered. And for them, even if they are not answered, it doesn't matter. They have fulfilled a religious obligation. So there are many who pray, but not many expect to be answered. Secondly, there are many who pray, but not many get answers to their prayers. They pray, but they don't get answers. The first category don't expect answers in the first place. The second category may expect answers, but they don't get the answers. And then thirdly, there are those who don't pray at all or have stopped praying. They don't pray at all, or they have stopped praying. It may progress from the second to the third. After a while of not getting no answers, they may become convinced that there is no use to pray because there is no need to pray and that there are no answers to prayer. But the Bible makes it clear that God is a prayer answering God. The word of God says, O thou that hearest and answereth prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I believe that was Psalm 65 verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Which means that God is a prayer answering God. He will not ask us to pray if he is not planning to answer. He will not ask us to pray if he is not planning to answer. In the book of Psalm 3, from verse 4 and 5, it said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I cried and he heard. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I cried and he heard me. In Psalm 34 and in verse 5, the Bible said, they looked up to him, unto him, and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So we serve a prayer answering God. Question is, what are the factors that will enhance our answer to prayers? Number one, a functional relationship with God. It is a functional. And when I talk about a functional relationship with God, it's a relationship with God that is beyond requests. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. That talks of relationship. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. There should be a functional relationship with God. Like I have always said, relationship is the foundation for requests. Tangible relationship. Relationship that is not based on things necessarily, but is functional. So the strength of your prayer life is proportional to the strength of your relationship with God. The possibility of your results with God, from your requests from God, is proportional to the intensity of your relationship with God. So it's a functional relationship. Number two is the knowledge of God. The factors that enhance our prayer results. Number two is the knowledge of God. I just read it. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must believe in the reality of God. You know God to the point where you believe he exists. What should we know about God that will help our prayer life? Number one, we must know the reality of God, that he is real. Second, we must know of the almightiness of God. He's mighty. Third, we must know of the loving kindness of God, the mercifulness of God. Because even if God will not do something for you because he's powerful, he will do it because he's merciful. So we must know God. The knowledge of God is the strength of our prayer life. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. We must know him. Hallelujah. Incredible. We must know the reality of God, the almightiness of God, the loving kindness and mercifulness of God, the abundance of God, the wisdom of God, the track record of God, what he has done before, and that gives us strength to believe for what he can do again. The knowledge of God. So the first thing that enhances our prayer result is a functional relationship with God. Number two, the knowledge of God. Number three, the knowledge of God's provisions and promises for his people. What provision does he have for his people? First John chapter 5 and in verse 14, the Bible said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What is his will? What has he willed for us? The Bible is more like a document of wills. What has he willed to us? What has he provided for us? What has he promised us? Our faith is strong when it stands on his will. When you are not just asking for what you want, but you are asking for what God wants for you. It's strong. In Hosea chapter 14 and in verse 2, he said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. I believe it was in John chapter 15 and in verse 7, when he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. So his words, which equal his will, once it becomes your will as well, then your will has merged with the will of God. And two of you agree as touching a thing, no devil stops it. This is why so many people don't get answers to prayers, because they approach God on the basis of sentiments. Hallelujah. So the knowledge of his will. Number four is faith in the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness and dependability of God. When you believe that he is, according to Hebrews 11 says, and believe that he is a rewarder, not just a recorder, not a user, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then you are on your way to seeing answer to prayers. Laying hold of God, on God's faithfulness by faith is key to results. I am coming here because you have a track record. I am coming here because I know what you have done before. I know you have no record of failure, like the song we heard on Sunday. If you fail to help me, I have nowhere, I have no help from anywhere. But you have no track record. You are so faithful. You have no track record. Look at the second verse of that song again. Lord, I look up to you for all things about my life. All I need for life and godliness is with you, Lord. If you fail to help me, I have no help anywhere. But you are so faithful with no record of failure. No record of unfaithfulness. No record. So we lay hold on God. We come on the basis of his faithfulness. Not on assumption. We come on the basis of revelation. Not from assumption. We come from a vintage position. A victory point of view. We come with an assurance of prayer. We are assured of the answer before we started the praying. We are convinced that we will be heard before we started the praying. When we are at that point, results are guaranteed. When we are not at that point, prayer becomes an exercise in futility. So faith in the faithfulness of God is needed. Number five is uprightness of life. James chapter 5, verse 16 to verse 17. We saw that already. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous man. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked is on the run and nobody was pursuing them. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Very, very important. When your conscience is clear, your boldness is there. When your conscience is clear, your confidence is there. When your conscience is clear, your access is clear. Access to God. Very, very important. Scripture said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But there is forgiveness with thee. Psalm 66 verse 18. That thou mayest be feared. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Hallelujah. So this is very, very important. That is why we approach God on the grounds of the clear conscience. Paul the Apostle said, herein do I exercise my conscience. Do I exercise myself to have a conscience that is always void of offense? Acts chapter 24 verse 16. Void of offense toward God and toward men. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Hallelujah. Number six is passionate, fervent praying. Passionate. It says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Passionate, fervent praying. Many times some are praying and others are playing. There are those who pray like it is a play. And the truth is either we are praying or we are playing. Passionate, fervent praying is not praying with divided attention. Passionate, fervent praying is not praying with distracted focus. Passionate, fervent praying is not praying double-mindedly. I believe it was James chapter 1 verse 8 that says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Passionate, fervent praying means you prayed until prayer knew you prayed. Prayer knew you prayed. Prayer knew that you prayed. Prayer knew that you prayed. You didn't just pray, but prayer itself knew that you prayed. You knew that you prayed. I remember in the university in those days, we'll go to the, where they call the basketball court in those days to pray. Pray with groaning until your anterior abdominal wall was paining you. If anybody passed, you were not aware. If anybody, whatever happened, you were not aware. You prayed until your tummy pained you. I mean, physically. Passionate, fervent pray. When you made up your mind that this is the objective and I am facing it, and I must see the answer. That is passionate, fervent praying. And number seven is persistent, continual praying. Praying without giving up. Effectual, fervent praying. The Amplified Version talked about the continued heartfelt praying. Continued heartfelt praying. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for another that you may be healed and be restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much. Continued heartfelt, persistent. And one another translation, I believe the Classic or the other Amplified said, the continued heartfelt. It's continued. It's consistent. No wonder the Bible said, praying always without prayer. Ephesians 6:18. No wonder the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. No wonder the Bible said in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Yes, it is possible to face one matter and press in prayer. Somebody says that not vain repetitions, not necessarily. By the time you have presented the matter before God, you can push it through in tongues. Now the Holy Ghost is talking to God, whatever details of the matter he's talking to God, you don't know. But you are pressing the matter in the spirit. Jesus prayed at a point and the Bible says he went a little further and prayed the same words. Went a little further and again prayed the same words. That was in vain repetition. Elijah was praying for the rain to fall. He put his head in between his thighs and prayed like that about 7 times. Go again. He told his servant. He went and came back. He go again. Until the 7th time he saw the cloud like a man's hand. Hallelujah. This is persistent, continual prayer. Put all these forces together and you are set to see answers to prayers. Number one point is a functional relationship with God. Not a flippant relationship with God. Not a hanky-panky relationship with God. Not the relationship that knows God only when there is an emergency. Not the relationship that goes to God only when there is something to ask God. But the relationship, a functional relationship that has nothing to do with asking for things apart from asking for Him. And then the knowledge of God. Like Paul the Apostle said, that I may know Him. Let me know you first. Show me who you are. Before I can even ask for things, let me know who you are, what you have, what you can do. And then, the knowledge of God's provisions and promises. What has He promised me? What are my privileges in God? What are my bill of rights in God? What are the things the devil must not tamper with in my life? What are the things God has promised me that the devil is trying to deprive me of that I need to contend with? The knowledge of God's provisions and promises. Number four is faith in the faithfulness and dependability of God. When you come praying, doubting whether it will be answered, your prayer is already answered, which means it will not be answered. The answer is that there is no answer. We come from the vantage point of knowing that we are going to be answered. Uprightness of life. Let your garments be always white, so your head will lack no ointment. Uprightness of life. And then, passionate, fervent praying. If you are praying, pray. If you want to play, play. If it's time for prayer, let it be time to pray. If it is not prayer time, do something else. I know that we can multitask in many things, but when it comes to serious praying, the only task at that time is the task of praying. Did you hear what I just said? We can multitask for many, many things. But once it comes to praying, the only task at that time is the task of praying. And then number seven is persistent, continual praying. You are not on prayer fire today and the fire dies tomorrow. We just remain and just remain and just remain on the prayer altar. And as we remain on the prayer altar, no devil shall deprive us of our answers. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. Lift up your hands everywhere you are as we are going to step into practical praying shortly in the name of Jesus. Be upstanding and lift your hands and give Him the praise and give Him the honor and give Him the adoration. Lift up your hands where you are and give Him the praise and give Him the honor. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your mercies. I thank You. I thank You for Your word to me today. Help me with the functional relationship. I thank You. I honor You and I adore You. Be Thou glorified. Be Thou honored and be Thou adored in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Anywhere you are around the world watching this and you are in need of surrender to Jesus, The first requirement for this prayer results we just talked about is a functional relationship with God. You know your relationship with God is not functional. You know you don't have a good, concrete relationship with God. Wherever you are, place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life today and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus, no turning back. From today I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name, amen.